have you been, Craig Haley?
I've been here, you know. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm so in love, honey. I'm sorry, but I have a new love. Wow, thank you, John. That is so cool. Is that like an instrument? You just sit on it and it... Oh. Maybe later we can play with it. We'll let the minister play with it. That might be fun. I might enjoy that. I won't get anything done. I'll be making music all, and I'll be loving it. It'll be all in my own head. Maybe it'll be fun. Sometimes I think I can sing. I'll try and just speak today, though. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the leader of this spiritual community, and so really, really happy that you are here to join us today. Norman, we need you. Go sit down. I'm a little bossy sometimes. Fred, would you come up? Now, so here's what's going on this morning, right now anyhow. It's Birthday Sunday. And so it's the first Sunday of the month. We'll have a birthday celebration over there, cake and candles and all of that. But meanwhile, we have a new birthday song. This was Fred's idea. So if it doesn't work out, I'm just saying. So he's going to, what we're going to do is we're going to learn the song. So we got the music for it, Fred. I'm just going to let you explain the rest from here, Fred.
Okay. All the July birthdays, please stand up.
Up, there's a couple.
Okay. Oh,
there's one.
Okay, Norman's going to play our new birthday song. The words are in your program. He's going to play it once so you hear it, and then he's going to play it again, and we're going to sing it. Okay? Norman, hit it.
Just listen to it first.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Blessings upon you through the year. Blessings upon you through the year. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Blessings to you.
That'd
okay,
be fun.
Y'all heard it now?
I like it.
Okay, here we're going to sing it now. Norman, hit it again.
Maybe.
We will. We'll get it. So
you're it, Betty.
It's just Betty Tambourine. Do you want to? No, you shouldn't. Just let us sing to you, Betty. We got it.
You ready, Norman?
No. Hey, it's your birthday. You just received now. Can only be one boss in the room at a time. It's me. So, Norman, should we a cappella or you got it, babe? Oh, okay, now Fred, now you're really in trouble.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Blessings upon you through the year. Blessings upon you through the year. Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, blessings to you.
Hey, we did it. All we needed was one rehearsal. That was great. We did it. Happy birthday, Miss Betty. And I know there are others of you in July. We just have a lot of people that are out today. And I think we're out there, you know, I think people are out because they're celebrating the other holiday that happened earlier in the week, and that was Independence Day. We had a celebration for the 4th of July, didn't we? A lot of noise in my neighborhood. I didn't get out to see any fireworks, but I know I enjoy doing that. And Independence Day is a day where we speak to our freedom. And I decided to create a message in honor of that holiday that is entitled Freedom of Thought. So I love that last song you just did, Craig. Beyond, how did you say that? Love without limits. Love without limits. And that really is a key element of what I'm here to talk about today, is how do we find that love without limits through our freedom of thought. Because if we do not recognize this freedom of thought we have, we may be imposing some limitations in our life that subtly then constrict what's possible. So the quote that I found from Creative Mind and Success, that beautiful little book that Ernest Holmes first published in 1918, these are the words regarding freedom from that book. He said, "The seed of freedom must be planted in the innermost being of humankind. The seed of freedom, it must be planted." Now, what he's saying here is he's not telling us to go out and plant a seed of freedom. He's telling us it's already there. That seed of freedom is already established within us, and we cannot be separated from it. And it seems to me that my role is to talk about that on Sundays. Our role as a part of humanity is to uncover it, to let it reveal itself. And we're going to look very specifically today about mastering this art of freedom of thought. So our teaching is founded on this idea. The very teachings, the science of mind teaching, Ernest Holmes, I like to remind you, used the word freedom 5 times on the very first page of the Science of Mind textbook. Can you imagine? It's a little short page. 5 times he used the word freedom, and throughout that chapter, he talks about life as a road to freedom. And the way that this teaching, this philosophy, can give us the structure to reveal that freedom, and it is about our freedom of thought. So what we realize as we sort of implement it in our own lives is that we have this power of choice. We talk about that all the time. And that really there is this corresponding way that our own higher thought then manages to show up in the circumstances of our living. As we have higher thoughts, we have a higher experience. We have a different experience in our encounters in living. And so Dr. Holmes convincingly speaks to us about this divine plan of freedom. I like it that he words it that way. It's a divine plan of freedom. And he states that it is our birthright. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. Have you ever thought about what it means to be a free thinker? Maybe you have free thinkers in your life that you wish wouldn't be so free in their thinking. And I think I learn a lot from observing other people in my own experience. What it means to be a free thinker in part, and the way we're going to look at it today, is that I am free to think and assess my own life experiences as I move through my living experience and create the story that's all about me. And I am also free to reassess at any given moment. If it's not turning out, remember the story's never over, that we are participating in this glorious way. And as I am free to assess and determine my own life and experiences and what they mean to me, so are you. And this sometimes is where life gets complicated, is we see things differently. We have a different idea of what free thinking will look like or what it should mean in our experience of it, and we kind of bump into each other sometimes. So this idea of encouraging free thinking can actually sometimes also create an appearance of discord in our life. And I like to talk about that. If you come here all the time, you may know that. I'm really comfortable talking about it because I like that way that as we recognize that which isn't in this smooth, sweet, harmonious movement in our lives, if it's not feeling that way and we want it to feel that way, we are feeling more discord, then we can make different choices so that we are harmonizing more closely to that gorgeous divine current that is possible for our own life. And that is true for each of and every one of us. So if I were going to talk about free thinking and sort of the way sometimes that creates what looks or feels like disorder, I might approach it from this is funny because I'm always studying leadership. You know, I I don't know why. I just love study and all that stuff. And I like to see the trends in what's happening in leadership as the entire world continues to change and this new culture that is evolving and emerging as we're waiting and anticipating and affirming what it might look like. I like to look at it from an organizational developmental sort of way that Kay, now that Kay Fontana has her PhD and all this stuff, she could say that all a lot prettier than me. But you know, it's like systems management. It's like that management, that view of leadership and the way it's all being restructured lately. And what we know is that there's this complexity that happens when different ideas come together, right? We have that even in a spiritual center where we tend to think similar in a lot of ways. We still have that complexity of thought that comes because we're free thinkers. And once in a while, it looks like chaos. But from a leadership or a management or a systems, organizational development view, whatever those words are, we could see that there's wisdom in noticing where the chaos erupts. Because that's the part that wants to smooth itself out. We talk about that in terms of our metaphysical relationship to, say, our physical bodies or even our relationships or our relationship to our finances. When things aren't going well, it's a call for something to be healed, something to be revealed at a higher level. There's an opportunity for growth in our life. So in terms of complex human relationships, this is very, very true. That we move sort of in and out of seeming chaos or discord as we're looking always for those new ways to meet together again. And because life is always evolving, you know, improving itself, if you watch the activities in the universe, it doesn't need our help. Well, it needs our help. We need to stop doing bad things. But it knows how to correct things that have gone awry. That is the intelligence of all of life. So, the other element that I want to talk about in this idea of freedom of thought or free thinking is that even in the statement of that, it implies that there's a thinking that isn't so freeing. And that, again, is where I want us this morning to look at the personal application of that. Where in our lives are we thinking, maybe we haven't noticed yet, but it's creating some form of limitation? So, you know, you might say that for me, when I talk about freedom and I think of what's the other side of freedom, it's imprisonment. It's the way I hold things so tightly that they're not free to move around and evolve and grow and change as they need to be. So we're talking again, what was the name of that song again? Love Without Limits. Because when we're talking about divine law, we are talking about God as love, that there is that love at the core of all of it. So here's what I notice in my own life. It's tricky for me to observe when my free thinking is limiting me. It's a little tricky to catch yourself doing that, but you know what? I can really spot it when you do it. Right? Do you ever notice that? And see, I think that's a good thing. I mean, you shouldn't necessarily tell people or try and correct other people from their free thinking because it's free. They get it. You know, home set. Everybody has the right to it. But I notice that it's easier for me to see when you're limiting your thinking as opposed to when I'm limiting my own thinking. And that's the gorgeous gift of having each other. That's the gift of relationships, whether we're talking about close relationships, that special other, or just relationships in life, in everything. We're always relating to things and to each other in one way or another. So it's a bigger question. So relationships give us that contrast, right? It gives us that little some way we can spot something and go, oh, that would be different if that person would just do that slightly different. Now, I think, Here's where I'm going to get a little funky this morning. It's going to get a little spicy right here. We're moving into the spice now. I have this view that it's we have, as human beings, we have this tendency to feel like, occasionally, that other people have some power to diminish our sense of freedom. Now there, I want you to be thinking about that one. Sometimes things happen in our experience of living that it feels like somebody else seems to have a little magic spell on me that diminishes my sense of freedom, and that my free thinking now feels wrong because it doesn't align to their free thinking, or vice versa. And so that shows up really well in families. That shows up really well in that old family dynamic. That shows up in the workplace. Sometimes we have someone with authority above us. At the job, there's a boss, let's say, and the boss has a different idea of how things should be done here at this level, and now what are you going to do with that? So it's tempting to think somebody else holds some power over you, but I want us to look more deeply at what it means to be a free thinker, including in your own view of the world and the situation, the circumstances of the world right now. So I'm going to give you an experience, because I had, when I was in my early 40s, I had one of my most major breakthroughs when I recognized I had a belief that somebody was diminishing my freedom. And I was a young woman. I was a mother. By the time I was in my 40s, my kids were all junior high or getting close to high school or in high school. And, you know, it becomes challenging. I had four kids. It becomes challenging to do those holiday things. A lot of people are doing that holiday thing right now. Or you just got back from doing your holiday thing. And so we would share the holidays between my family and Hugh's family. So it was the grandparents. We would either go see this set of grandparents or the other set of grandparents. And that was how we did all of our family things together. Sometimes they would come see us, but it was a real treat to go to their house. It was a real treat for everybody but me. I'm pretty sure they all looked like they were having fun, but for me it was always stressful. And when I'm stressed, I don't always behave in the way that I would like to behave. Now, it wasn't quite as hard when we would visit Hugh's family, but when we would go to see my family, I had a mother who was, to say it politely, just like me. She was just like me. She had her own ideas. She was a free thinker, and she liked to share her ideas. And I had that typical mother-daughter relationship. You know, Sue always reminds me that Jean Houston says that the wounds you get from your family are the sacred wounds. You know, that we could really be thankful for those precious sacred wounds because they grow us the most. But I want to give you kind of a reverse look at how it can become a sacred wound. So I always wanted, as a grown-up, I wanted a grown-up relationship with my mother. I wanted my mother to quit treating me like I was just one of the kids. You know, and I couldn't seem to talk her into an adult relationship. So we would get together, and I would be on my best behavior. I would try so hard to just be a nice person and do the right thing and be a good example for my children. But if you're staying there 3 or 4 days, you can only be good for so long if you're me. And then that one thing happens, and bam, I start acting like a child again. Right? And then I'm angry. Then I'm like, that's not me. This is not fair. She does not know I am not that person anymore. And yet, I just exhibited that behavior, didn't I? And so even in my recognition that I wanted a different relationship, I would still be a part of the shenanigans that would happen during the holidays. So here's the part of the story where it gets really good. I started studying this philosophy. I had taken the foundation class. In fact, I had taken it twice. I took it one time, manifested a year-long pilgrimage in Asia. So I was gone for a year, came back, took it again with a different minister. And then I was taking the prayer class, just like some of you are taking the prayer class with Sue Witter right now. And in that prayer class, we had to write treatments. You should do this. Are you doing this? Good. You should do this. This changed my life. I'm not kidding. This is the most important thing that happened to me in this teaching. I did a prayer on having a better relationship with my mother. Thanksgiving must have been coming or something. And so I did a spiritual mind treatment, a written treatment on getting along better with my mother. And I wrote a beautiful treatment because you know me, I'm wordy. And I like the poetics of writing pretty stuff. I could have been a musician, but God didn't give me any music. I just look at you and go, how does he make that sound come out of that machine there? That's very good. And so I wrote this prayer, and when the minister returned it to me, it had red marks all over it. She liberally critiqued my work. You should do this. I'm telling you, it's life-changing.
They'll find out on Monday.
All right. And so here's what happened to me. I'm affirming, I'm in that middle stage of treatment, you know, affirming my realization that mother and I are getting along and the weekend is going so well. And the minister wrote on my paper, quit manipulating your mother. When you write a spiritual mind treatment, it's about you. You are still trying to change your mother. And I got defensive. Of course, she wasn't in the room, but in my own mind, I'm going, I'm not trying to change my mom. I just want to have a different relationship with her. You know, I'm doing my work. She can meet me halfway, do some work. And suddenly, because I valued the opinion of the minister and I was open to the lesson, not quite understanding freedom of thought yet, but it was the beginning, and I realized, oh, my word, I have been trying to change my mother to be the mother I want her to be, and I have never once accepted her for who she is. The irony in that is that all we really think we want is for mom to accept us. But I had not accepted that that really is who my mother is. Now, the problem comes in your own interpretation because you have freedom of thought. See, I thought she was being mean. I thought she was intentionally pushing my buttons. And when I read that paper and saw the red ink of the minister, who I had way up here on a pedestal, and I read that she said I was manipulating, I was trying to change my mother, suddenly I realized there was truth in that. That there was wisdom in these ministerial words, in this different view of prayer that was so difficult to wrap my mind around. And so I acknowledged that she did seem to have the power to push my buttons, but that I seemed to let her. That there was some permissive place I would put myself, I would try and be nice, because it wasn't the honest being. It was what I thought was expected. It was an image I was trying to give while I was still hoping for a different outcome. But I didn't know I had the power to change my mind. And so what I wanted was a different relationship with my mom. My desire was for us to be different in the way that we interrelated, but I realized finally that I hadn't been able to love and accept her the way that she was. I realized that there was probably not a day in her life where she woke up and thought she would be mean to me. And I realized that maybe she wasn't capable of giving me that sweet mother-daughter adult relationship that I longed for. I still wanted her to be someone that she wasn't. And now you can see, as we begin to understand the pieces we have been blind to, we have this ability to wake up to our own imprisoned thought. For as long as I believed all those things, it was hopeless. It was just two people, it felt from me that it was two people trying to go at it, to influence each other in a way that neither one of us agreed upon to begin with. Now I have this new understanding, this new realization that I have the freedom to think differently. And you know what I want to tell you? It was almost as if, I remember talking to my husband about it, it was almost as if I had this tremendous aha understanding, this moment of massive opening, and I realized, oh my gosh, she is who she is, and I am who I am, and everything changed. If that slight little tweak in my own mind, and everything changed out here, everything changed. Not my mom. See, do you understand what happens here? Everything changed, but she didn't have to change. Maybe she couldn't change. As it turns out, it was none of my business. But it taught me that there's a different way of forgiving people for the wrongs you think you have witnessed. And so one, it started by just accepting her the way she was. Me really getting it. She's not being mean. It's just how she is. People love her. People love her. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? She didn't change. And here's another piece that I really want you, I put so much thought and prayer into this. I changed tremendously. But she did not cease to push my buttons. You know what I'm saying? It's like part of the healing for me was in knowing, okay, we're going to go visit. It's a holiday. We're going to go hang out together. I'm going to be me, which really helped when I would just be me. And she's going to be who she is. And every now and then she's going to push my buttons because there's something in me that's still not healed. And now I get to go the next step in forgiveness. And that is not in forgiving her. It is in acknowledging that she has not done anything wrong. It has been a perception I have believed and carried around and been imprisoned by the thought of it. And that there was a whole other way of looking at it. And now, look at what happens now. Now I realize I can forgive myself. That I can accept that me too. Just like she's that way and I'm this way, and nobody has to be wrong. That there are these gorgeous gifts in life, we don't even know how we are blocking ourselves from the reality of those truths until we have these gorgeous moments. I was no longer trapped. She could push my buttons, we could have a good laugh over it, I could go do something else, step out of the room, it didn't matter. Because it became a more powerful lesson. It became that power in the unlimiting factor of love. You know, when you begin to recognize that you're in charge of your own mind, first of all, that can be scary as all hell. But secondly, it gives you, it's that great wake up where you begin to realize, wait a minute, I thought that. Okay, I claimed that. I thought that. I believed that. And there is a power in this universe that is greater than I am. I am aligned to it. I call on that power even now, and I can change my view like that. See, it's not me willing it. It's not me trying to manipulate a situation or, God forbid, another person. I don't think we know we do that, and yet I see that we do, and I know that I have. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. My experience brings to me this truth in, as though it's in neon now. I have a gorgeous quote I found that complements this so perfectly. Vilayat Khan, who is an East Indian meditation teacher, he's a practicing Sufi. Actually, he passed in 2004, but he was a practicing Sufi. But his father, I have quoted many times from this platform, his father is Inyat Khan. And here's what Viliat says on this topic. This is such a gorgeous quote. Do you think you are not free? You are free, but you do not know it. And it is your not knowing that is your limitation and your imprisonment. Realize your freedom and you are free. Wow, those are pretty clear-cut, powerful words. So many sages have spoken this way, long before the great metaphysicians and long afterwards. So many musicians and artists, they get this. You can feel it. Poets, Bob Marley, redemption. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but yourselves can free your mind. Emancipate yourself. And so here's the final piece I wanted to talk about today. This is the other place I get into trouble, is when I think things just aren't fair. Did you ever have that happen to you? Sometimes I catch myself walking through life going, that's not right. But that isn't fair. And I have opinions about all kinds of things through that lens of fairness. And I get myself into some trouble for it. I notice that we talk about freedom and justice together quite frequently. And so I had this curiosity. I wanted to know, what did Holmes have to say about justice? It's a hot topic right now. It's a hot topic in the world. It's a hot topic in our organization. Woo! What did Ernest Holmes have to say about justice? And this is what I found in my work. In the gorgeous book, Anatomy of Healing Prayer, gorgeous book, it's called the Holmes Papers. It's printed in a trilogy now. If we don't have any, Nancy, you should make sure there's one or two out there. Gorgeous, gorgeous writing. Holmes said, when you take judgment out of your idea of justice, you will find the balance and the equilibrium of the entire universe. Let me read that to you one more time. When you take judgment out of your idea of justice, you will find the balance and the equilibrium of the entire universe. See, when in nature, in this universe, this life we live, when things get out of balance, nature restores things to balance, and nature does that quickly. So there is balance in justice. But you got to see that it's a bigger picture than you thought, and you got to take your judgment out of it. Do not judge by appearances. So justice is sort of a desired expectation to be treated fairly, and the problem with fairness is you add that quality of freedom of thought, and then what happens? We have different ideas about what we think is fair or right or just. So just like the story I told you about me and my mom, we had completely different ideas about our relationship. And here's what I realized. One of us, me and my mom, one of us had a thought that the relationship needed fixing. The other one of us was quite comfortable with the relationship the way it was. Who's right? Who's wrong? What's fair? This is real life. And so to wrap it up, I would say that I will tell you that I came to stand on this platform because I have a passion that will not leave me alone, that I really want to see healing in the world. I really want to bring this teaching to individuals so that we can see we don't have to be imprisoned by our thought. We don't have to be stuck with an illness. We don't have to move through life always having money problems or whatever your issue is. Whatever your issues are the things that are teaching you. They are the very things that we attract into our lives in order to heal whatever piece of the wholeness we do not understand. And it is only when we recognize that we are free thinkers and we begin to examine some of the things we have been thinking and believing and hanging on to, it is only when we are willing to expand some of those thoughts that we have room to see from a different perspective. So I have devoted my entire life, to what I'm doing right now. I didn't always know that, but I do now. And sometimes I too get discouraged when I look at the world and I look through that lens of thinking things aren't fair or just. Now, I'm not saying we don't need people to wake up based on that stunning look at injustice. We do. And if you are called to be a part of some movement, then you better answer that call, because if you don't, it will haunt you. But I admit I get discouraged, because I really believed, up until a couple of years ago, I really believed that this mass consciousness was coming together, and that I was going to see great change in the world in all the directions that I wanted to see change from my perspective. And then things got upset and people got upset, and I started feeling like I didn't have that ability to help people anymore. And worse yet, that we were further away from that critical mass than I thought we were. But I came across this quote. I think it would be good for all of us to hear it, from Meg Wheatley. Margaret Wheatley is an amazing human being. She's done a lot for leadership. We use her in our school of ministry. A fabulous woman. She's worth Googling or searching. Here are the words of her, and I found these words just when I needed them. Rather than worry about a critical mass, our work is to foster critical connections. We don't need to convince large numbers of people to change. Instead, we need to connect with kindred spirits. And through these relationships, we will develop some new knowledge. We will develop new practices. We will develop courage and commitment that will then lead us to broad-based change. I need to hear these words. I need to speak this message, because there's hope in that. And I want to say that there, on some gut level, I have known that it's so important. I'm so happy that we are talking. We are talking. We are having conversations that are long overdue. And it is why I am so content that we are encouraging the small groups here in our spiritual community, so that we can have book studies, so that we can have conversation circles, so that we can come together and read the mystics and talk about it. We can meet together in classes. The men can come together and have breakfast and decide what next great thing for the church they're going to do. These are all vital, because we are meeting together as kindred spirits. We are bringing our work together. We are fostering these critical connections. We are making relationships that do bring new knowledge. New things can emerge in the middle of our conversations. We can have new thoughts. But we have to be free thinkers. So I have decided, because I feel so passionate about all of this, that I'm starting a new movement. It's going to be my own movement. You can join if you want. And here's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it the Free Thinking Movement, or the Free Thinkers Movement, or maybe we could call it Freedom of Thought, the Freedom of Thought Movement. But it's going to be about being free thinkers. And you know what we're going to do in our movement? We're going to talk to people about thinking. We're going to get together and create community. And so here are three questions that are imperative to ask. So be like any one of those meetings where you read the precepts before you start the meeting. We'll read them before we even begin the meeting. Here's the first question. These are our steps to our own healthy thinking. Now remember, you can only look at yourself. You can't look at anybody else, or the minister might write in red, "Don't manipulate." Okay, step number one to healthy free thinking. Does my free thinking condemn others in any way? Just breathe. Does my free thinking condemn somebody else? Number two, is my free thinking influenced by any negativity? Have I tainted my free thinking based on my own idea of what's fair, what's right, or what's just? How can I move into that greater universal thinking? And finally, the third question is, and this is so good for us, do I remember that I can change my mind? Because when we remember to change our mind, it is a call for a new thought. Free thinkers can have new thoughts, right? It's my favorite scripture. It's on the wall over there, Romans 12:2. Free thinkers can have new thoughts. And so I want to remind you that when Holmes talks about justice, he invites us to take our judgment out of it so that we might find a new balance, a beautiful equilibrium within our own self. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul, and freedom of thought means that we are always free to change our minds. Nigerian proverb. Hugh brought it to me this morning. I had to throw it in because he brought it to me this morning. And it's so perfect for the talk. Keep your heart and your mind heading in the proper direction, and your feet will follow. All right, so we'll anchor this with prayer. So I would at this time invite all the practitioners and the ministers or the ministerial interns, if you would just stand and surround this room with your consciousness. As we turn within, recognizing that right where we are, God is. Right here in this very room, there is that power for good. It is greater than we are, and we can use it. And so, speaking these powerful words of prayer, we touch that power. We open ourselves to be vessels to allow it to express through us. We recognize that this is an infinite intelligence that has created this entire gorgeous universe and all that is. And for a moment, we just feel the love of God within us. That's right. Just breathe it in. Feel that movement of love at the core of your being. I recognize this love as the activity of life. It is the movement of divine intelligence. It is that infinite light that illuminates all of our living, all of our circumstances, all the conditions and experiences that we move through are illuminated in this divine love. It is so powerful. It is that truth that awakens us to higher ways of looking and seeing and viewing and hearing and touching this gorgeous earth. For yet again, we remember as we look at this idea of freedom of thought, we remember also that there are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. And so feeling that movement inside of us, recognizing that quickening as the Holy Spirit, that healing power of the creator of all of life, we simply know that whatever it is that appears to ail us in terms of the physical being, that there is something miraculous, there is something divine, there is that eternal healer within us already. And that as we remember this truth and we align ourselves to this greater good, there is that internal shift, a divine harmonization, a glorious way in which we energetically move through life differently, and therefore we are healed, we are whole, we are centered, and we remember yet again that there is a greater truth of our being. And not only is this truth for our physical healing and our well-being, but this is the same truth that is at the very center of the lives of all those people that we love. Those who are easy to love and those who are more challenging to love. Everywhere, the presence of God as a great force of love, actively revealing this greater wisdom. And so I know that all of our relationships are blessed. I know that this gift of forgiveness is freely given, like the grace of God that is constantly pouring and streaming into our lives. And now we just open ourselves to receive. For it is not grace that we earn. It is grace that is freely given. And so as we ponder this, as we take these words of prayer and we allow ourselves to be freed of any thoughts that have been limiting in the past, we move into a greater expression of what's possible. And as we do our work on this planet, as we are willing to look at our own stuff, we can see that right where we are, God is. That every action, every thought, every experience is graced in that same gift of givingness from the divine. And so I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. How wonderful to receive this good, to be awake, to be aware, to know again that right where we are, this gift of spirit is. And so in the beauty of this morning, wrapping up the amazing elements of this service in every way expressed, I give thanks and I release the words of this prayer and this time spent together. I release these into that divine law that always says, yes, my child, yes. And together we say, and so it is.